Hello, everyone, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine. I'm your host. And today we are in episode, we're going to double up. We're going to do episodes 117.3 and 117.4, which are chapters 15 and 16 in 1 Kings. I missed yesterday. I apologize. I'm sorry. There were things happening and I couldn't help it. So today we are going to double up, and I am not going to dilly-dally. I'm going to go ahead and get right to it, unless the Holy Spirit takes a hold of me, which I hope it does, because sometimes, you know, it happens. But I'm just glad that you're here. I'm glad that you are taking a little bit of time out of your day to listen to God's Word. It's amazing how much we learn every day from what He's got to say. So I'm going to go ahead and open up in prayer first. I'll give you your Bible verse of the day, and then we will dive into both of those chapters. So let's pray. Holy Heavenly Father, we come to you, to your throne, with hearts of thanksgiving. We love you. We are in amazement of you and all that you do, all that you provide. We have nothing without you. And we are so blessed that you give us what we need when we need it. It's amazing. You give it to us before we even know what it is that we need. And so we're thankful. We want to be in your will. We want to be doing what you want us to be doing. We know that you require obedience from us. And we want to be obedient to you. Not because we have to, but because we want to. We appreciate all that you do for you and all that you do for us. And we are so grateful and so thankful for, especially the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection, Lord. We don't want to ever forget that he came back to life and is living today in us. We are so thankful for that. So, Lord, I ask you to bless everybody that we know, everybody who is listening, watching. I pray blessings over them, Lord. I don't know what their needs are. I don't know what they are, what they're in the middle of right now. But I ask you to bless them for whatever that might be, whatever it looks like. I pray for my family, my friends. I lift them all up to you, Lord, and I pray your will be done. Have your way with us, Lord. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we want to be that example to whoever cross our path. So, Lord, I pray that I am that person for myself. I pray that I am an example of who Jesus was. I want to be as close to that as I possibly can get, and I hope that everybody else feels the same way. Lord, we lift up this time in your word. We find your word to be precious. It is a gift, and we are thankful that you give it to us so that we can get to know you better. So come into this time, reveal to us what you want us to understand, and bless it, anoint it. Lord, we just ask you to watch over us as we go through our day, our week. We're past hump day, and we're getting ready for the weekend. So just help us to be who you want us to be. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say, and keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So today's verse is from Isaiah. Like I said, it's my favorite book right now. It says, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." And that's from Isaiah 64:8. I love that. God is molding us if we allow him to. He wants us, you know, like I was saying, we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I want him to mold me and to shape me into the person he wants me to be. And I love that that is such a good depiction here of who he is. I just picture, you know, him just molding that clay and making us who he wants us to be. So I think that's a really perfect first of the day for this week. I hope that you're letting God work through you and mold you into the person that you want to be, because that's what we want, and that's what He wants. So I think that was a pretty cool little verse. All right, let's go ahead and dive in into our readings today. We are in 1 Kings, and Jeroboam and Rehoboam are now out of the picture, and now we're moving into the next set of kings that are coming our way. So let's see what the Israelites are going to do. So this is chapter 15, and we are episode 117.3. Abijam rules in Judah. Abijam began to rule over Judah in the 18th year of Jeroboam's reign in Israel. He reigned in Jerusalem 3 years. His mother was Maacah, the granddaughter of Absalom. There's a little asterisk there for also known as Abijah. He committed the same sins as his father before him, and he was not faithful to the Lord his God, as his ancestor David had been. But for David's sake, the Lord his God allowed his descendants to continue ruling, shining like a lamp, and he gave Abijam a son to rule after him in Jerusalem. For David had done what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and had obeyed the Lord's commands throughout his life, except in the affair concerning Uriah the Hittite. There was war between Abijam and Jeroboam throughout Abijam's reign. The rest of the events in Abijam's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. There was constant war between Abijam and Jeroboam. When Abijam died, he was buried in the city of David. Then his son Asa became the next king. Asa rules in Judah. Asa began to rule over Judah in the 20th year of Jeroboam's reign in Israel. So these are overlapping with Jeroboam. Jeroboam is still he hadn't died yet. Okay, so that's just a little clarity there. That's what I'm getting from this, right? He reigned in Jerusalem 41 years. His grandmother was Maacah, the granddaughter of Absalom. Asa did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, as his ancestor David had done. He banished the male and female shrine prostitutes from the land and got rid of all the idols his ancestors had made. He even deposed his grandmother Maacah from her position as queen mother because she had made an obscene Asherah pole. He cut down her obscene pole and burned it in the Kidron Valley. Although the pagan shrines were not removed, Asa's heart remained completely faithful to the Lord throughout his life. He brought into the temple of the Lord the silver and gold and the various items that he had, that he and his father had dedicated. There was constant war between King Asa of Judah and King Baasha of Israel. King Baasha of Israel invaded Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from entering or leaving King Asa's territory in Judah. Asa responded by removing all the silver and gold that was left in the treasures of the temple of the Lord and the royal palace. He sent it with some of his officials to Ben-Hadad, son of Tabrimon, son of Hezion, the king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus, along with this message: "Let there be a treaty between you and me, like the one between your father and my father. See, I am sending you a gift of silver and gold. Break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel so that he will leave me alone." Ben-Hadad agreed to King Asa's request and sent the commanders of his army to attack the towns of Israel. They conquered the towns of Ijon, Dan, Abel, Beth Maacah, and all Kinnereth, and all the land of Naphtali. As soon as Baasha of Israel heard what was happening, he abandoned his project of fortifying Ramah and withdrew to Tirzah. Then King Asa sent an order throughout Judah, requiring that everyone, without exception, help to carry away the building stones and timbers that Baasha had been using to fortify Ramah. Asa used these materials to fortify the town of Geba in Benjamin and the town of Mizpah. The rest of the events in Asa's reign, the extent of his power, everything he did, and the names of the cities he built are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. In his old age, his feet became diseased. When Asa died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Then Jehoshaphat, Asa's son, became the next king. Nadab rules in Israel. Nadab, son of Jeroboam, began to rule over Israel in the second year of King Asa's reign. Sorry, I was doing a little highlighting in Judah. He reigned in Israel 2 years, but he did what was evil in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his father, continuing the sins that Jeroboam had led Israel to commit. Then Baasha, son of Ahijah from the tribe of Issachar, plotted against Nadab and assassinated him while he and the Israelite army were laying siege to the Philistine town of Gibbethon. Baasha killed Nadab in the third year of King Asa's reign in Judah, and he became the next king of Israel. So Baasha becomes the king of Israel. All right, he immediately slaughtered all the descendants of King Jeroboam so that not one of the royal family was left, just as the Lord had promised concerning Jeroboam by the prophet Ahijah from Shiloh. This was done because Jeroboam had provoked the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, by the sins he had committed and the sins he had led Israel to commit. The rest of the events in Nadab's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Baasha rules in Israel. There was constant war between King Asa of Judah and King Baasha of Israel. Baasha, son of Ahijah, began to rule over all Israel in the third year of King Asa's reign in Judah. Baasha reigned in Tirzah 24 years, but he did what was evil in the Lord's sight and followed the example of Jeroboam, continuing the sins that Jeroboam had led Israel to commit. It's a little confusing, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to have to go back and read through that again. All right, anyway. All right, let's read chapter 16, 117.4. That's episode 117.4. This message from the Lord was delivered to King Baasha by the prophet Jehu, son of Hanani. I lifted you out of the dust to make you ruler of my people Israel, but you have followed the evil example of Jeroboam. You have provoked my anger by causing my people Israel to sin. So now I will destroy you and your family just as I destroyed the descendants of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. The members of Baasha's family who die in the city will be eaten by dogs, and those who die in the field will be eaten by vultures. Haven't we heard that before? The rest of the events in Baasha's reign and the extent of his power are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When Baasha died, he was buried in Tirzah. Then his son Elah became the next king. The message from the Lord against Baasha and his family came through the prophet Jehu, son of Hanani. It was delivered because Baasha had done what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as the family of Jeroboam had done. And also because Baasha had destroyed the family of Jeroboam, the Lord's anger was provoked by Baasha's sins. Elah rules in Israel. Elah, son of Baasha, began to rule over Israel in the 26th year of King Asa's reign in Judah. He reigned in the city of Tirzah for 2 years. Then Zimri, who commanded half of the royal chariots, made plans to kill him. One day in Tirzah, Elah was getting drunk at the home of Arza, the supervisor of the palace. Zimri walked in and struck him down and killed him. This happened in the 27th year of King Asa's reign in Judah. Then Zimri became king, the next king. This is crazy. Zimri immediately killed the entire royal family of Baasha. Leaving him not even a single male child. He even destroyed distant relatives and friends. So Zimri destroyed the dynasty of Baasha as the Lord had promised through the prophet Jehu. This happened because of all the sins Baasha and his son Elah had committed, and because of the sins they led Israel to commit. They provoked the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, with their worthless idols. The rest of the events in Elah's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Zimri rules in Israel. Zimri began to rule over Israel in the 27th year of King Asa's reign in Judah, but his reign in Tirzah lasted only 7 days. The army of Israel was then attacking the Philistines, the Philistine town of Gibbethon. When they heard that Zimri had committed treason and had assassinated the king, that very day they chose Omri, commander of the army, as the new king of Israel. So Omri led the entire army of Israel up from Gibbethon to attack Tirzah, Israel's capital. When Zimri saw that the city had been taken, he went into the citadel of the palace and burned it down over himself and died in the flames, for he too had done what was evil in the Lord's sight. He followed the example of Jeroboam in all the sins he had committed and led Israel to commit. The rest of the events in Zimri's reign and his conspiracy are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Omri rules in Israel, but now the people of Israel were split into two factions. Half the people tried to make Tibni, son of Ginath, their king, while the other half supported Omri. But Omri's supporters defeated the supporters of Tibni. So Tibni was killed, and Omri became the next king. Omri began to rule over Israel in the 31st year of King Asa's reign in Judah. He reigned 12 years in all, 6 of them in Tirzah. Then Omri bought the hill now known as Samaria from its owners, Shemer, for 150 pounds of silver. He built a city on it and called the city Samaria in honor of Shemer. But Omri did what was evil in the Lord's sight, even more than any of the kings before him. He followed the example of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, in all the sins he had committed and led Israel to commit. The people provoked the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, with their worthless idols. The rest of the events in Omri's reign, the extent of his power, and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When Omri died, he was buried in Samaria. Then his son Ahab became the next king. Ahab rules in Israel. Ahab, son of Omri, began to rule over Israel in the 38th year of King Asa's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 22 years. But Ahab, son of Omri, did what was evil in the Lord's sight, even more than any of the kings before him. And as though it were not enough to follow the sinful example of Jeroboam, he married Jezebel, the daughter of King Ethbaal of the Sidonians, and he began to bow down in worship of Baal. First, Ahab built a temple and an altar for Baal in Samaria. Then he set up an Asherah pole. He did more to provoke the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than any other of the other kings of Israel before him. It was during his reign that Hiel, a man from Bethel, rebuilt Jericho. When he laid its foundations, it cost him the life of his oldest son, Abiram. And when he completed it and set up its gates, it cost him the life of his youngest son, Segub. This all happened according to the message from the Lord concerning Jericho, spoken by Joshua, son of Nun. Well, they're really reaching back far, aren't they? Back to Joshua. All right, so this was a lot. If you have time, I would strongly suggest to do a little bit of studying on this and a little bit of simmering, because there is a lot of information here about the kings. They overlap, and, you know, obviously the kings of Israel are doing what is evil in the sight of, you know, God. So I find this all very confusing. That's all I got to say. There's a lot of overlapping and there's a lot of confusion for me. I need to go back and reread through it again. I didn't highlight a lot in 15. I did note that Asa ruling in Judah in 14 says Asa's heart remained completely faithful to the Lord throughout his life. So he did what was right in the Lord's eyes. That's a good thing. So it goes on to talk about, you know, the kings of Israel for the next, you know, it went through like five different kings of Israel, and they all were doing things that were not right. So, you know, we just need to kind of do a little bit of backtracking, a little bit of studying on this. You know, sometimes reading the overviews here help out. At least they help me. So, but we got the reading done at least. We know that there's a lot of information packed into these couple of chapters. So we're going to be coming up onto chapter 17, where it talks about Elijah and the widow. So we're coming, so I guess we're going to get introduced to Elijah. Woohoo! That's exciting. Okay, so we're going to get into Elijah starting tomorrow. I am very excited to start reading about that. Okay, well, that's it for today. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be a little vague here, but like I said, I find this intriguing. I find it always interesting to find out what the history of Israel is and, you know, how the pieces are fitting in together. I wish I had more time to dive in and be a little more knowledgeable about this, but I'm literally reading God's word into the world. So, you know, I think it's kind of up to each one of us to try to do our own digging. That's the way I look at it. So I am not going to leave this particular podcast without, as always, saying to everyone out there, if you found us, it's not an accident, and it's because you're looking for something. I don't know what that might be. I think you're looking for Jesus. And if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know who Jesus is, that goes into the New Testament. And but Jesus is he was God who became flesh, and he was basically born to die for our sins. That's what it all comes down to. And so reading the New Testament, if you're not familiar with Jesus, is where you want to go. But if you are familiar with Jesus and you haven't made him Lord of your life, then this is your moment. I'm going to say the prayer of salvation. It's not about me. It's about you and your heart for God. So I'm going to lead you in that prayer, and I hope that today is your day. Today is your day to receive Christ. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his resurrection. It's his perfect blood that covers all of our sins, past, present, and future. On this day, I accept him as my Lord and Savior into my life and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations. Welcome into the family of Jesus Christ. You are an adopted brother or sister in Christ. So welcome. Make this your day of celebration. Tell the person who's been praying for you. that you receive Christ today. Mark it in your Bible, mark it on your phone, on your wall calendar, however you want to remember it. But today is an important date. And we'd love to hear from you either at Lorraine@leapoffaithpodcast.org or Jeremiah@leapoffaithpodcast.org. We would love to hear that you got saved, and we can pray for you for whatever needs that you have. You can always leave us a message on Facebook or Instagram, but we'd love to hear from you. And we also suggest that you get to a church, a pastor, get involved. If you've got questions, there are people who can answer your questions. Tons of ways you can be getting involved with your church or, you know, furthering the kingdom. Ministry, Bible studies, volunteer work, missions work. Pray about it, because God gave everybody gifts to use, and you need to use them. So that, I think, is it for today. So God bless you. Have a great day. I'm glad that you got a minute to listen to all of this. And I just pray that you have a great evening. And I'll see you tomorrow. So God bless you, and we'll see you then.